morning. I'm Al Comfort. I'm your host tonight. Lou and Elizabeth have asked me to host the program, and I trust you'll be blessed. Before we go any further, let's have a short word of prayer. Let the Lord bless the service, and while you're listening, we'll all be blessed, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, this night to bless this program. Bless the words that I say tonight to those that listen. Bless the listeners. Bless our producer. Watch over the folks out there, Lord, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, that his name might be glorified. Amen and amen. Okay, folks, I've got a scripture here. Lou and Elizabeth have asked me to speak tonight, and I'm going to just read this briefly. This is not the main text, but it's one of the most important texts, okay? In St. John 3, we find a scripture. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, from the third chapter, the first verse. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. These miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus reiterates that in the seventh verse, and he said again, Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So, if you pass in this life, you must be born again saved, or you will not make heaven, all right? It's a real place. Hell is a real place. And I don't want it ever said that Al Cuppet didn't say you had to be saved, or that there was not a heaven or a hell. There certainly is. And by the way, the word born again in the Authorized Version, the King James Authorized Version, is found three times. It has two words and nine letters. There's a reason for that. The word Christian is found three times, okay? Exactly three times. And the word Godhead, the word which should be used instead of the word Trinity, is found three times, and it has seven letters. It's very critical. Okay, seven is number of perfection. You know that. Most of you know that. Three is a number of divinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or resurrection. All right? So, you will find that, and there's a numerical reason for that. All right? Now, I've got another scripture I want to read to you. I want to read to you Psalms 71:15. David is speaking here. And it says, My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. D-A-Y. For I know not the numbers thereof. It tells you very plainly there, you need a plural antecedent for the word numbers. And it's not days, it's day, so that's not the right, what you're looking for. You're looking for a number for righteousness and a number for salvation. Okay? An English major will tell you that when you see the word numbers there, it's plural. Therefore, the antecedent before it must also be plural. Well, the word day is singular. The only thing you could find there with a plural antecedent would be righteousness and salvation. And I'd like to show you the reason for that tonight before we go on off this program, all right? Okay. You know, she wanted me to tell you something about my mom's home going, and I'll get to that later, my mother's passing, when she went to be with the Lord. However, as another scripture that she wants me to read to you, she wants me to tell you about this scripture, Lou and Elizabeth. It says in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the 28th verse, Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set. Now, there was a landmark in the old church. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been there and I saw the old church, okay? I saw the old church back in the 50s. I saw what my grandfather and my great uncle saw. I saw what my mother and father saw as they were coming to adulthood in 1916, 1920, okay, 21 to 30. And I saw what they got to see. Most of you have not seen that church. That church today almost is non-existent. It's almost non-existent today. All right? One of the landmarks that we had back then, from 1611 until 1971, 360 years, we had a Bible called the Authorized Version. And the Authorized Version was used in our country roughly from about 1630 on through until completely until 1971, when the New Version Bible started coming out in mass, okay? And you will find that Bible has held us up and has done well for us all these years. Okay, I remember all this. Okay, I'm old enough to know. I've been saved 49 years, 4 months, and 4 days today. This day, okay, the ninth day of May in 2018, all right? I've been a born-again Christian for that number of years. 49 years, 4 months, I should have said 5 days, and 5 days. I know the moment it happened at 12:30 in the morning. Okay, I know how it happened, when it happened, and I know that I am born again. The Lord changed my life. But the Lord said, remove not the ancient landmark that the fathers have set. Okay? There were two landmarks in the church. One was the Authorized Version Bible. The other was the old-fashioned hymn book that we had so many years. Okay? And I'm looking at a Bible chart. And if you go to a website called alcuppett.com, A-L-C-U-P-P-E-T-T.com, you will see a chart there with, on one side, it looks like a wild vine of gourds, and on the other side, you'll see a tree with loaves of bread on it. There were seven Bibles, okay, seven English Bibles from the time the English translation was first made in 1525 from this particular text, the Textus Receptus, the Tyndale, the Coverdale, the Matthews, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, and the seventh was the Authorized Version. Okay, Martin Luther, his Bible was published in 1534, and the Luther Bible and the Authorized Version Bible were the only two Bibles that ever brought a revival or a great awakening. You read about a great awakening, it is a proper noun, great awakening. We had one in 1832, in the 1830s, for sure. And we did have one starting in about 1903, an old-fashioned full gospel revival come out of Azusa Street from California and swept across this nation. And it was in that revival that my great-uncle was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? And my grandfather, now my great-uncle was a Roman Catholic. He was born in Garrett County, Maryland. Him and his twin brother, my grandfather, they were born in 1881, and they went to the Catholic Church for 35 years. And my grand-uncle was sitting one night in 1914, sitting on a stump outside of my grandfather Cuppett's church, a Methodist church in Garrett County, Maryland. He heard the gospel preached. He heard it preached that he must be saved. He must be born again. He went into the church and walked up the aisle to the altar, and my grandfather prayed him through to salvation. And a couple of days later, he went and found his twin brother, and he said, Henry, I've found what we've been looking for 35 years. What's that? He said, I found Jesus. He said, well, I know about Jesus. He said, I learned about that in catechism. No, Henry, Hen, I don't mean, he called him Hen. Hen, I don't mean that. I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus in this King James Bible that this preacher uses. And so Henry, about a year later, Henry got saved. And my great-grandma sent Henry over. He was saved into Methodism by a Methodist preacher. After 2 years, a full gospel preacher came through named Cox out of Azusa Street and was preaching along with Brother McCauley. And I remember Brother McCauley because he was a young man in 16. He was an old man in 1950, older man in 1950. And Henry went, and he got saved too. And my great-grandmother sent Henry over to the tent meeting. She said, you get over there and find out what J.C.'s into now. He was in that Methodist bunch for 2 years, and it's been 2 years. Now he's into something else. Get on over there and find out what he's into. And Henry went over there, and Henry got saved. Praise the Lord. And my Uncle John, my Aunt Mary, and my Uncle Leo were all born into a Catholic family. But my mother was in her my grandmother's womb when my grandmother was Pentecost baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my mom was being carried by my grandmother when she was saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so I have a great heritage. But some things have happened now, folks. Something rough, bad has happened. As so goes the church, so goes the country. As the church goes, so goes the country. You see, I go back to a time when things were different. Things were much, much different, all right? And it said, remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set. Okay? Well, starting in 71, we had New Version Bibles, and we started pitching them out. Pitched out the Authorized Version. We brought in the New Version Bibles. They were brought into seminaries. The young students in seminary and Bible school were taught that the Word of God is not found in English. It's found in Greek and Hebrew. Well, you can't very well be saved if you hear a language, hear a sermon preached in Greek, huh? Christos aneste, yasophilos, isikalasimera, isikamatikos christianos. Do you understand that? Well, I speak five languages. Now, if I told you that I speak Lemiotiki Greek, modern Greek. Hellenika Lemiotiki, I can speak that pretty well. Along with Italian, German, and Spanish. Okay? The Holy Spirit cannot manifest faith, hope, joy, peace, and love in your spirit in a language you can understand. Christos Aneste, Christos Aneste. Well, if you knew what it says in Greek, it'd be a blessing. It means Christ arose. Oh, that is a blessing, right? Okay, but not in Greek and not in Hebrew. Okay, because if you can't understand it, you cannot have faith, hope, joy, peace, or love manifested in your spirit in a language you cannot understand. The Holy Spirit cannot do those things in your spirit if you don't understand the language. But the Lord took seven times to purify his word. He used first the German by the Tyndale Bible, in English, the Coverdale Bible, the Matthew's Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible. And finally, it says in Psalms 12, 6 and 7, he says very plainly, the words of the Lord are pure words, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven times purified. Well, English was based on seven base root languages. Oh, it took them 7 years to translate it from 1604 to 1611. It was actually transcribed from heaven. And it was the seventh translation in the English language, the seventh major translation. Okay? So we now know, as long as we stick with the book, we can't go wrong. Okay? I've got the Bible chart is in there on alcuppett.com, and anybody who wants one of them, if you want to write me at Wolfetown, Virginia, 22748, box 111, 22748, I'll send you a copy of it. I'll just send you a copy in the mail, all right? And it's very plain. It comes out of 2 Kings 4, 38-41, and there is a scripture which gives us the foundational truth for the Authorized Version. It's found in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19 and 19 and 21. Let me explain something to you here. You'll notice in the Authorized Version that on verse 18 of the 13th chapter of Luke, okay, Jesus is speaking, then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? And it's like a grain of mustard seed, okay? Remember, the grain of mustard seed is representative of faith, okay? Which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. This is how God had his kingdom and how he wanted it to be. He wanted it to always be like that. He didn't want persecution to come. He did not want persecution to come to this earth, to his church. He only wanted the people to be diligent and seek him, preach the gospel, and things would go okay. And up until 1971, the gospel of Christ prospered in the English-speaking realm. Okay? But then something happened. In verse 20, he says, and again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Here is a second reckoning, okay? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The whole three measures of meal were leavened. What's that mean, Al? What it means is that the meal is the basic word, is when you bake meal, you get bread. Meal is the manuscript evidence, or copies of copies of copies. We have no original manuscripts anymore. And when you bake meal, you get bread. At the right time, you get bread. And at the right time in history, God sent forth his son, and he also sent forth his word at the right time in history. And the woman took the meal. Three measures of meal, okay, that's the number for divinity, three measures of three. Those original copies, if we had them, we don't have them. If they were here, they were the actual word of God. But forces of hell decided they were going to throw in new manuscripts, copies of manuscripts, and was going to make new version Bibles. And if you change the Bible, you're going to change society. If you change the words, okay, I remember Brother Dean was speaking to us in March of 1969. My children, commit scripture to memory, for very soon the word shall be taken away. We were at the altar praying and we started weeping. What's going to happen? Are they going to put us in jail? Are they going to take our Bibles away? They could, and they probably will. But they didn't have to take away your Bible or put you in jail or take the word away from you. Because 2 years later, in 71, out came the new version Bibles. Yes, there were some versions before in 1911 and one in 52 in England in 1881, but those versions of the Bible did not take. They did not take hold. But in 1971, in late 60s, and the NIV Bible came forth, and people started listening to it, reading it. To show you what happens here, I would take three verses. I will read to you Matthew 17:21. I will quote Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, and Acts 8:37 from these New Version Bibles. Ready? I'm going to quote them. Ready? 1, 2, 3, quote. Unquote. Did you hear anything? No. That's because there's nothing in those three verses. Brother Cuppy, you mean there's nothing in those three verses? No, there's nothing in those three verses. They're blank. Matthew 17:21 is one of the two places where you learn how to cast out stubborn spirits. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. That's missing in these New Version Bibles, or it's bracketed away. It's not reliable. Okay, if you go to Matthew 18:11, you will find another verse, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's missing. How can that be missing? That's Jesus' commission to save the lost. And Mark 9:29 is a companion verse to Matthew 17:21. Okay? Howbeit this kind goeth out by fasting and prayer. In Matthew 17:21, the whole verse is missing. In Mark 9:29, only fasting is missing. So you see, a new Christian, or any Christian, who ran into a stubborn spirit would not know how to get rid of it because those two verses are tampered with or missing. Now listen, the word tampered, text tampering is spiritual blood poison. If you tamper with the text, it is spiritual blood poison. Okay? And we've got spiritual blood poison in our churches now. This is why things have gone wrong. We have changed Bibles, and then we decided we would change the hymn, throw out the hymn book. Somebody decided they would throw the hymn books out. Okay? What they did not know was the Holy Spirit acts upon the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. If the Bible that you're reading does not match what is settled in heaven, you have a counterfeit Bible. And if you keep using it and it proliferates into your church, you will soon have a counterfeit church. You won't know it's a counterfeit church, okay? You won't know it, but you won't have any real fruit developing. You'll have head knowledge Christianity. You'll hear words about Jesus, but there'll be no anointing on those words to convict you of sin. Now, I want to tell you something. To be saved, you must understand first and foremost that you are a sinner. You must know that the soul that sinneth shall die. Okay, all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. Okay, there is not one holy, no, not one. Repent, okay? It says repent. God commandeth men everywhere to repent. Repent of what? Repent of your sins, okay? You must repent of your sins, and you must come under conviction. With these New Version Bibles, you hear some words up there, and you might find, well, okay, I'm a sinner. Maybe I'm a sinner, but you don't feel any real conviction. And then the preacher says, any of you want to join this church, come on up here. And you walk up there. If you're not convicted of your sins and you aren't having tears come down, then you haven't been truly convicted. You don't have the contrition required to honestly repent of sin. You have to repent of that sin. You can't go up there and join the church, okay, or become a member, or shake the preacher's hand, or transfer your membership from one church to another. Believe me, folks, in the old church, when they give the altar call, we went up there, went for salvation, you were weeping. You were weeping. You had contrition for your sins, because when you use the authorized version, it matches what is settled in heaven. Okay? It matches what's settled in heaven. And, you know, Amos tells us, in Amos, it tells us in there, in Amos 8, 11, and 12, it says right here, and I'll read it to you. It says in Amos 11 and 12, it says this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You're hearing plenty of words in these churches. You're hearing lots of words in these churches with these New Version Bibles, but nobody's getting saved. They're getting head knowledge salvation. I'm warning you, this is the truth. It says in verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and young men's faint for thirst. They faint for thirst. We're hearing all kinds of words in these churches, but they're not the words of God. All right? And Acts 8:37, the other verse that you didn't hear me read, the eunuch had gone down, come up from Queen Candace's kingdom in Ethiopia. He'd come up for the sacrifice in the temple. He's a Jew. He came up to the temple, and he was met by Philip in Gaza. And it says in 8:37. And in verse 36, we'll read this. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That verse is missing in these New Version Bibles. The ESV Bible, the Complete Jewish Bible, okay, the New Revised Standard Version Bible, and most of these New Version Bibles have got that verse missing, or they have it bracketed out as unreliable. Okay? That's why the young virgins and the young men are thirsting for the Word of God. And what you're finding in these churches is very little salvation message. You find people coming in and going out like a revolving door to find the Word of God, and they're not finding it. They're just not finding it, okay? They're not finding the Word, so they go to another church. And the same thing happens in the next church they go to, and the next church they go to. And all the bad things that you see happening in our country have happened because the church has lost its power. Okay? Someone might say, well, what happened? How did people get saved before the King James Bible? Not many were saved. We were in the Dark Ages from about 257 until 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his thesis to the walls of the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. We were in the Dark Ages. That's why they called them the Dark Ages. There was no printed word. Only a few people had old manuscript copies, and Satan was doing his best to destroy those copies. But then again, God does not need a manuscript to give us a holy Bible. He needs holy men to transcribe things from heaven to earth, okay? And if you look at 2 Peter, all right, 2 Peter 1:21, and it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God only needed holy men to transfer his Bible from heaven to earth, where it was forever settled. Okay? We only had to have manuscripts laying around, copies of manuscripts, not the real ones, the copies, just the copies of copies of copies, so that we would believe we had the Word of God. And as long as we used the authorized version, and we preached it was the Word of God, okay, then the kingdom prospered, the world prospered. You see, Paul took the Greek language and took it to the four corners of the known world at that time on the Roman road system. Alexander had come through and Hellenized the earth, the known world over there around the Mediterranean, and Paul went out on that Roman road system. I've been on those Roman roads. They're straighter than the ones Italians build now. I've ridden on them to work. We used to ride to work on a Roman road, old cobblestone road. He used that road system to carry the gospel. And for a couple hundred years, the saints of God who heard Paul and Peter and John and all those speak, okay, they carried the gospel until about mid-200 and 250 A.D. And then we went into the Dark Ages. Constantine declared the church all Christian. There was no more revivals. There was no more persecution. Everybody was a Christian. No, they weren't. They were lost sinners declared to be Christians by Constantine. And for 1260 years, we were in the Dark Ages. Then came Luther's Bible in 1535, and the Reformation took place across Europe. The just shall live by faith. Luther brought the gospel to the Western Europe, okay, and we had the gospel in the Reformation, and Protestantism broke out. One German Lutheran pastor went to Greenland with a German Bible, the Luther Bible, and he preached in Greenland and had a revival in Greenland, and they revived, they had a moving of the Holy Spirit and salvation in Greenland using the Luther Bible. But those were the only two Bibles, the Luther Bible, the old Luther Bible, it's called the Mitteldeutsche Bibel, Middle German Bible. It was in the 1530-some, 35, and the authorized version were the only two versions of the Bible that ever brought revival, which ever brought revival to the world, or any great awakening. And once again, it's a proper noun. Great awakening is a proper noun. It was a church, it was a time in church history. But since 1971, and some of you listening tonight weren't even born in 71, so you don't know what happened in 1950. You see, you don't know what happened in 1950. What I know what happened in 1930 and 1920 because my mother told me. And my grandfather told me because they were there in the mountains of Maryland and also in the mountains of East Tennessee. The churches broke into revival based on the Azusa Street meetings that came out of the Azusa Street in Los Angeles. a great revival spread across the country. When I was in Germany, Brother Strickland came. His father was in that first go-round about 1920, and Brother Strickland preached. He was my generation, and he'd been raised the same as I'd been raised, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he came to Germany. When he came to Germany in 1970, he had one center and nine fellowships. And with the Authorized Version as his text, when he left about 8 or 9 years later, he had nine centers across Europe and 50 fellowships. Nine centers and 50 fellowships. That is the power of that Bible. That's how it works. And as long as we kept that Bible, we did fine. But now we're not doing fine. All right? Now, there's a numerical code in the Authorized Version, and it proves that this Bible that I'm reading from comes straight from heaven. And if you'll go to 2 Kings 4, verses 4 to 31, 38 to 4, 2 Kings 4, 38 to 41, you will find in there where the prophet of God, let me look it up here. I think I'll look it up for you. 2 Kings 4, it's not hard to find. 38 to 41. It says, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. Now the Bible repeats is what happens in one place comes true later on also. There was a dearth in the land when the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, seize on the great pot. Seize the pottage for the sons of the prophets. Feed them. Feed the men of God. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. And gathered therefore wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. When these new Bibles came out, if you look at that Bible chart that I talked to you about, you'll see these different versions hanging on there. And they cut the gourds up and threw them into the pot. Gourds will kill you. A gourd is a zucco in Italian, and a zucchini is a squash. A zucchini is great. You fry them, they're great. Make good vegetable soup, right? But a gourd is poison. And they shred the gourds up, and they said, oh, thou man of God. They cried out. There's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. Oh, he said, put meal in the pot. Put meal in the pot. The real stuff will be okay. Meal. You see? And the 23rd edition of Nestle's Greek text is the one all these new version Bibles come from, and 23 is the number for death. You have 23 pairs of chromosomes, and we're all going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back, we're all going to die. Death is the number for 23. 23 is the number for death. And he said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And all these new version Bibles emanate from the 23rd edition of Nestle's Greek text, the New Testament portion. Okay? And this is where you see what happened. And this happened to our church in my lifetime. It started happening only two years after I got saved. And you know, if you go to Mark, Matthew, Mark, the 16th chapter, when you come to the 8th verse, you'll find right after the 8th verse, you'll find a caption that says, the next 12 verses are not reliable. That is from 9 until 20 verse of Mark 16. Starts off, now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And you go on down through to the 20th verse, okay, and it says in the 19th verse, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. These New Version Bibles either have it bracketed out, and they say those 12 verses are not reliable. Well, if they're not reliable, why do they put them in their Bible? Well, they can't sell a Bible with a 12-verse hole in it, okay? So they put them in there, but they bracket them out and say they're not reliable. Oh, but there's a problem with that. Big problem. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Shall every word be established. Okay? Every word. Man liveth not by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. in that verse, in the 19th verse, it says, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. There are only three records of Christ's ascension to heaven. One is in Luke, one is in Acts, and the other is in Mark. You have two witnesses. You have Luke. Luke wrote them, both of them in Acts and in Luke. And Mark wrote the third one. Okay, you got three witnesses. You have two witnesses, Luke and Mark, that say that Christ ascended to heaven. If you negate Mark's witness, if you say it's not reliable, you cannot prove in a court of law that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, because you only have two witnesses, Mark and Luke. If you take out Mark's witness, you take away the second witness. Therefore, you cannot, in a court of law, okay, prove that Christ ascended to heaven. Okay? That's why these versions are so despicable, how they have destroyed the church in our time, in our day, all right? In Luke and Elizabeth's day, they're old enough to have seen back, okay? Now, Sister Elizabeth would like us to talk about my mother's homecoming. Mother's Day is coming, and I don't put a lot of stock in Mother's Day, except if you get in there and make sure the people hear that you must be born again. Okay? We cannot take one Sunday and not preach the gospel of Christ. If all the mothers in the church are saved, then hallelujah, we got it made. Okay? We got all the moms saved, we're okay. But if we're just going to honor moms and we're not going to honor the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're doing things wrong. Now, my mother was born in 1916, and when she was about 12 years old, she carried her cousin's future wife through the snow. And that young lady, who was 6 years old when Mom carried her through the snow, my mother was about 5'9", and Geraldine was only 6. Mom was 12. She carried Geraldine through the snow. And I talked to Geraldine a couple years back, about 3 years back. Sure, her mind was still with us. She was 90-some years old. I said, Geraldine, you're going to see Anna. She said, yes, I remember. I remember Anna used to carry me through the snow. I remember. Geraldine was 90 years old, and she told me, I remember Anna carried me through the snow. I said, when you get to heaven, Geraldine, it won't be long. You're going to pass on to be with Jesus. I said, I want you to greet Mama for me. I want you to greet my mom. I want you to tell her what's going on, how you met me. And tell her and thank her for carrying you through the snow when she was 6 years old on the way to first grade. We have that hope, folks. If you're a born-again Christian, you have that hope. And I have a friend of mine who is a prophet of God. He really is. And he was a missionary to Kenya. He was a pastor. He's an evangelist. And my mom was getting up in years. And she was starting to forget stuff. And I said, where are you going, Mom? I'm going to go feed the chickens. I said, Mom, the chickens are gone. There are no more chickens. You don't go down that stairs, you're going to hurt yourself. And one day she was going down, and Mom, we got to get rid of those chickens. Oh, no, please don't get rid of my chickens. That's all I've got left. I said, Mom, you're going to get hurt. And I was praying, what am I going to do? She's going to get hurt going down the stairs one morning. I even put an extra banister in. Well, on the 11th of July, I think it was, of 2003, I went out to the, I used to go down every evening, and I would close the chickens up after dark. I'd go down in the morning, and I would open the door, and the chickens, the bannies, they're bantams. Well, I went down on the 11th of July, and the chickens were missing. I said, Mom, where's the chickens? Oh, no, they're, I said, did you open the door? No. Well, the door was open. She said, I don't know where the chickens are. Well, when dark comes, they'll be back. Well, they weren't back. They were gone. Someone had come and stolen those chickens, 7 of them. There were 7 of them. Stole the chickens. And one day, I come in, we had a power failure. I says, we had a power failure? Yeah. I said, no, the lights are on. Well, the microwave don't work. So what'd you do to it? Well, I heated the dog's food. I said, in the metal pan. Yeah. Uh-oh, Mom, we can't be doing that. So what I did was I started praying, Lord, what am I going to do? And well, the chickens disappeared. Somebody stole them. Didn't have a problem with chickens anymore. Her cousin called from West Virginia and said, there's a nice place over here, a Cleveland Church of God lady. She'll keep your mom for $800 a month. She's got two spaces, and she'll take your mom, and she'll keep her, just like a nursing home. So I took Mom over there, and for 2 years, she was there. I'd go over once a month. It was about a three-hour drive, and I'd have my harmonica. And I'd play the harmonica, and I'd play the old hymns. I'd play those glorious hymns. And my buddy Bob is a buddy of mine. He can call you up and tell you things, as Agabus did in the New Testament. Agabus told Paul, they're going to bind you, boy, and they're going to haul you off. And he said, there's going to be a famine in the land. And it came in the days of Claudius Caesar. He prophesied and told it what was going to happen. Well, I sent Mom over there, and on about the 31st of August, I went over to play for her the last time. I didn't realize it was going to be the last time, folks. I didn't realize it was going to be the last time. And I played for about an hour, and I got tired. I said, well, Mom, I'm going to have to go home. She said, well, and these are the words she said to me, folks. Elizabeth and Lou, these are the words she said. She said, you don't have to run off as soon, do you? No, Mom. I can stay and play some more. I'll stay and play some more. So I played another half hour, and she went to sleep. And I gave her a hug and went out the door. And on the 5th day of September, I was driving to New York City to speak in a church called Faith Evangelistic Ministry. It's at number 90. William Street on the Lower East Side. I got a call in Maryland, right near Laurel, Maryland, and I got the cell phone. Your mom has passed away. I had made arrangements up in the mountains at a family cemetery up there. I'd bought a plot of ground, only $50, and I'd check with this funeral home, and, you know, I said, someday, sooner or later, a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know, maybe tomorrow, my mom's going to pass away. So I called the funeral home. The arrangements were made. I told them where to find her. Go down into Parsons, West Virginia, and you'll find Mom at the medical center there. Her spirit's not there, folks. She's not in that body. She went to be with Jesus. I called Reva. I said, Reva, what happened? She said, well, she was sitting there talking to me, and all of a sudden she looked past me. Al, she looked like she was looking out through the wall at a far distant sight. And she started to smile, and her eyes got real big, and she smiled, and she looked. And all of a sudden she went, oh, and her head went down, and she grabbed her chest. She said, I ran over to her. And her pulse was gone. I said, what was she looking at? She said, I don't know. She was looking at something. She wasn't looking at me. Well, I went on up. That was a Tuesday, and I went up on Wednesday. I preached a sermon on Wednesday. I stayed on a fellow's house up there. We prepared a PowerPoint for the Friday night service in the Upper West Side in a little concert hall that he'd reserved. We made a 96-point PowerPoint slideshow. Usually it's about 110, but we did about 96 of them. I preached at night, and when midnight came, we were done, and I got on my pickup truck, and I drove home to Virginia. We had the funeral on the 11th, which was a Sunday. I went home on Saturday. Sunday, we had the funeral. I told the folks as much as I have told you about what happened, and I told them, I said, Mom was there, and I told them exactly what I told you. I didn't realize when I played the harmonica for that time, it'd be the last time I played it for her. I used to go down to her house. It was 700 yards away when she moved down to me. I'm an only child, okay? And I'd play the harmonica and I'd read scripture to her. We'd read the word. My mama prayed me into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that. Those of you who are praying moms, you better be blessed. If you're a mother, you better be praying. You better be praying for your child, praying for your kids. My mom only had one kid to pray into the kingdom. You know, if you see the movie, there's a Christian movie. I don't go to movies, okay? But there's a one out there called Heaven is for Real. And Colton Burper was 4 years old, and he almost died and had a vision of heaven. And Colton, they didn't know what to do with Colton because he saw these things in heaven. He saw them all. And one day he said to his mother, Mom, I got a sister. Yeah, you know, Cassie, that's your sister. No, I mean another sister, Mom. And she said, another sister? Yeah. Well, it's a girl. I got a sister. She's a girl. Another girl. Well, what's she look like? Well, she looks like Cassie Hyena, but she's got your color hair. I said, Mom, you had a baby die in your tummy. Colton, how did you know? Well, she told me. She told me in heaven I got to see her. Well, what's her name, Colton? Mom, she doesn't have a name. You didn't give her a name, Mom. I said, well, we didn't know what sex she was. We didn't know. The baby was so small. We didn't know. Colton told his mother he had a sister in heaven. I want to tell you something, folks. I had a little sister named Joanna who was stillborn when I was 6 years old. I remember they pulled the shades down. I knew something was going on. I didn't know what. I was told later, of course, when I grew up. But Dr. True came and delivered this little girl. Her name is Joanna. They were going to name her Joanna. You know what, folks? Just as Colton Burpo saw his sister, I'm going to see Joanna. I shall see my little sister one day. In those days, 1946, 45, the doctor came to the house where we lived. He gave the little baby to my dad. There was no funeral. Dad took the little body out, wrapped it in a blanket, and buried it somewhere on 26 acres that me and my uncle and aunt lived, my mom and dad, uncle and aunt lived on. But someday, when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll be caught up to forever be with the Lord. I'm going to see Joanna, just as sure as Colton Burpo saw his sister and told his mother. They knew he'd been to heaven. They then knew he'd been to heaven. I'm going to see her. Well, I didn't say a word about it to Bob, my buddy in the mountains. Bob called me one day and he said, Al, there's a particular government and there's a particular building in this government and there's a spy there. And she wears ruby red lipstick, and she feigns hard of hearing, and she's a spy. And she's giving secrets away to the enemy. I said, okay. Well, I took the information, and I mailed a letter to the right people. And they caught that woman. They caught her using sexual favors on the politicians. In fact, the inspecting officer, she tried her favors on him. They pulled her security clearance, and she was put out of the building forever. She's not a spy anymore. You can't convict her on Holy Spirit evidence, but you can put her out of the building by pulling her security clearance. This is how good he is, okay? I called him on Tuesday, a week after Mom had passed away, and I said, Bob, Mom passed away. And he said, last Tuesday morning? I said, yeah. I said, how'd you know? He said, I was praying. And he said, I saw a vision of my mother, that's his mother, standing on the Jordan River, standing on a riverbank, evidently Jordan. Now, I didn't know what he's about to tell me. I knew that my mother was friends with a lady named Frida in church when I was 7, 8 years old, 9 years, 10 years old, 12. He said to the Lord, he said, Lord, what is my mother, Frida Simpkins, doing standing on the riverbank? I said, Frida Simpkins was your mother? Yeah. I said, I knew Sister Simpkins and Brother Simpkins. See, she'd remarried. His father had died 4 years earlier. She remarried, and I knew her as another name. I didn't know that Frida was his mother. But my mother and her were very best friends because my mom used to go sit with her because her husband died. I remember she'd sit over there away from me and my dad sometimes. He said, Frida Simpkins is waiting. Your mother, my son, is waiting for her best friend, Sister Cuppet, from Bethel Pentecostal Tabernacle to cross the river. He knew that at 1 o'clock on Tuesday morning, 12 hours before my mother passed away, it was the 6th day of September. And he saw it in a vision. He told me, and I shall see her one day, and I shall see his mother, because the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. You know, I got saved in 1969, and in 72, I was in Germany, and I went to the pickup point. The PX pickup point is where you pick up your laundry, your dry cleaning. You can pick up your shoes that have been fixed. You can pick up film, which used to be developed then, right? You can pick up, you can have your pictures developed. You can have your laundry. You can pick up different things there. You can have uniforms tailored. You can have stripes out on your uniform and name tags. And there was a lady standing there. And the Lord said, tell her about salvation. Tell her about salvation. Well, I said, okay, all right, well, I wonder who it is. And we started talking. And she and her husband had a camper, and we had a Volkswagen camper. And we started talking about camping. And the guy couldn't find her stuff, and he was back there in the back. And I can picture that little man right now. I know what he looked like. If I saw him today, I could tell you exactly the man. He was about 5'7", or 5'6". And he didn't come up front, and I had plenty of time to tell her about Jesus. But I didn't. I said, I'll send her a tract. I know who her husband is. I'll send her a tract through distribution. I'll send her a tract and a letter through distribution. And my service will be finished. I won't have to, you know, I'll be justified. I walked out of the pickup point. It was an old tank barn, a German Wehrmacht tank barn in Patch Barracks in Stuttgart, Germany. I walked out. And I went across the street to my office. 2 days later, I'm walking through the parking lot on a cobblestone street with Hitler's tanks used to drive on. Okay, it was a Panzer barn, Panzer barracks. It was a Panzer concern. And Captain Diekmar came across, and he said, did you hear about Jean? He mentioned her last name. I said, no, I didn't hear anything. She was killed yesterday in a head-on collision on the Autobahn. I said, you mean Commander Cahill's wife? No, not Commander Cahill, the other commander, you know, the little short guy. Oh, no. I went back. I don't know where I went, but I put my head down and I wept. 2 days, a day and a half later, she was killed in an Autobahn crash, head-on collision. And I had not said a word to her about Jesus. And I wouldn't have had time for my tract to get through distribution. And if I probably did send it, I don't remember. But I will someday stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be asked, why didn't you tell Jean about salvation? I prompted you with my spirit. I prompted you. I I wept and I wept and I wept. One day, we heard one of our boys got killed. His name was Tony. He worked in the computer room, and Bill came walking over. Al, did you hear about Tony? No. He was killed, he said. They hit a truck. Going to Oktoberfest, they hit a truck. Yesterday. He said, Al, day before yesterday, he came to our barracks, and we were sitting there, me and the other brother, and we didn't tell him about Jesus. We didn't witness to him about Jesus, and he's dead now. Tony was a pitcher on our softball. He was a shortstop on our softball team, and I played first base for our unit team. And he could throw that ball, and it would hum, because he was a baseball pitcher and a softball shortstop. But Gene and Tony both are somewhere in eternity today. They are somewhere in eternity, and it doesn't look good. He said, Al, he came to our barracks, me and the other boys, me and Joe, and we didn't talk to him about Jesus. We didn't witness to him. And the next morning, I went to his funeral, and I wept. I wept also. Folks, today is a day of salvation. Today's a day of salvation. You get back to the hymn book, and you start learning those hymns. And you go back to a King James Bible. And you start praying. Now, you need to get up in the morning early and pray. You need to get up in the morning early and pray and read your King James Bible. Get up early and pray. I'm going to say a short prayer and we're done. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the listeners. Bless Lou and Elizabeth. Bless the producer. We'll see them all next week. We'll see you next week when Lou and Elizabeth come back on the program. I hope I've been a blessing to you. In all the name of Jesus, for his kingdom and his glory, this is Divided Kingdom signing off. Thank you and good night. Bye-bye.